I am so thankful, so grateful for the ministry of Teen Challenge. Maybe I know this is not part of your usual spiel, but maybe while you're speaking for us, you can just give us a ballpark estimate on how many lives have been changed through the ministry of Teen Challenge over the 50 plus years. Do you have any idea? Millions? Praise God. So I'm going to turn this over to Derek, right? And take your liberty in the Lord.
Hey, thank you, Bob. Good morning, church. Good morning. Well, like Bob introduced, my name is Derek, and I'm one of the recovery coaches at the Shed Men's Center. And I can contest, Bob. So I'm 50, and I grew up in Sweet Home. I've lived in the Valley my whole life. And, you know, in these little local communities, just grew up drinking alcohol. Started drinking when I was really pretty consistently in the eighth grade into high school, and went in the military after graduation and just continued to perfect alcoholism. Didn't even realize I was an alcoholic. I was a functioning alcoholic after the military and an honorable discharge. Just led for probably 13 years, a very successful life at the Albany paper mill, working for Willamette Industries as a boiler engineer. I purchased my first home, and from the outside looking in, life was really good. But on the inside, I was held captive to addiction. And then that led to a cross addiction to methamphetamines. And that within 2 years destroyed my life. I would have never thought that I would have been one of those guys. But I didn't know Christ. I grew up understanding that there was a God. But it wasn't until August 4th of 2008 when I realized back then I was what? Do the math, in my 30s, 36, 37 years old, that I needed help. I was in serious trouble, and I was too proud to ask for help. There's a stigmatism. There's a stigma, rather, or a stereotype, if you will, on those that had struggled within the community if you had touched methamphetamines. And I was overwhelmed with guilt and shame. I hated myself, and I hated my life. And but I finally come to the point in the place where the pain was greater than my desire to want to change. And the fear of that, I surrendered to God. And I actually got born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and gave my life to Christ, and that altered my whole path. And so you're going to hear of testimonies and God's grace, and I'm a recipient of that old rugged cross. You know, we were singing, oh, what a wonderful cross. Oh, what a wonderful cross. I love that verbiage. And it's been said that it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was love. And I so value that. And that's what I hope you hear we're all about this morning. We're about the love of God. We're a discipleship ministry. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter, where Christ has a conversation with his apostles. He says, I want you to go, and I want you to teach. I want you to raise up disciples. I want you to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to teach men in obedience to my word, everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. And I just think it's amazing that here we are a couple thousand years later, in fulfillment of that prophetic word, participating and partnering with the Lord, you as well within the body of Christ, to be a fulfillment of the Great Commission. It's a powerful thing. And to answer your question, Bob, I mean, we're a global ministry. We had a team just get back from Uganda. We have a campus in Romania, over 240 plus centers just in the United States alone. And it's untold. The number's unmatched. God only knows how many people are going to be in heaven. And we're finding hope, healing, and freedom in Jesus Christ through the ministry of Adult and Teen Challenge. And I know I'm well versed. I know that you folks have had us here, and I just wanted to say from my heart and on behalf of Adult Teen Challenge, thank you for your partnering with us and your generosity and your prayers. And when I was a student as well, I worked at the Lebanon Thrift Store, and I would see your faces. Some of you look very familiar, and you'd come in, and just the joy you guys bring and the encouragement, you have no idea how that in and of itself just strengthens us every day. And so thank you for already partnering with us. And for those of you that aren't familiar with who we are, And we do have just a little short, couple-minute video clip, and we'll go into a little more detail on our ministry and explain the discipleship process.
In 1958, David Wilkerson traveled to New York City to preach the gospel to teenage gangs. He quickly recognized that drug and alcohol addiction was consuming the lives of the youth. Adult and Teen Challenge was founded to address the growing addiction epidemic. And today, the need is greater than ever, and everything we do always comes back to our primary mission, to make disciples. We want to put hope within reach of every addict. In 1983, Mike Hodges opened the first campus in Oregon, and now the Adult and Teen Challenge Pacific Northwest Family of Ministries has expanded to 5 states throughout the region. For the last 4 decades, we have been growing and refining our approach to the discipleship process. We recognize that people need more than just sobriety. They need every area of their life to be transformed by the gospel. So we offer a comprehensive approach to recovery. At the core of our ministry is our residential recovery program. When students walk through our doors, they meet Jesus. And when they meet Jesus, the transformation process begins. Within the structure of a campus and in the community of peers and our staff, they develop spiritual disciplines. They learn how to pray, how to study scripture, how to worship, and how to be lifelong disciples of Christ. And as their faith grows, they find freedom.
It's a sanctuary. It's a place to check out from this craziness of this world and not have all the pressures of responsibilities, but just one thing in mind, establishing a relationship with the Lord.
Addiction creates complex behavioral health challenges, so we have integrated Life Renewal to provide state-approved counseling by our own professionally trained addiction counselors. Our students participate in individual and group therapy, and our counselors equip them with the tools they need to heal from their past and apply biblical principles to their lifelong recovery.
We are offering students evidence-based treatment with a Christian worldview. This will allow them to live their lives in a more successful and positive way, while also helping them stand strong in their identity.
We were designed to work, created to be productive. So our vocational training program helps our students establish the skills needed to be productive members of our society. Our thrift stores, work crews, and other vocational experiences teach important life skills, teamwork, leadership, stewardship, and integrity. We help students discover the joy of an honest day's work. And rather than sitting on the sidelines during their recovery, they build confidence as they put their new skills into practice.
I see students really adapt very well in the stores. They're enjoying the environment they're in. They're productive. There's a reward in work that you've never seen before with students. The work that our students do sets them up to thrive once they leave our program.
Discipleship is not just about learning the gospel, but also living it out. David Wilkerson founded this ministry on outreach. So Hope Outreach gives our students the opportunity to discover the joy of serving, to give back to their community, and to deliver hope beyond our campus walls. We work with local partners to bring compassion to our communities. Our students share their stories to bring prevention and awareness to local schools. We establish community discipleship groups for those in recovery, and we share the hope we have found in Christ through evangelism. At Adult and Teen Challenge, our comprehensive approach to recovery is allowing us to broaden our reach and improve outcomes for our students. Our comprehensive approach helps us put hope within reach of every addict and make lifelong disciples.
Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus.
Boy, that's a really cool thing to see someone being given that opportunity to experience hope for the first time. And everything about them begins to change.
I just have an undeniable passion for God. He has brought me through so much, and it honestly could only come from Him.
Probably the best decision I've ever made coming to the program. The program really molded me into a man of God. Like, when I came to the program, I was a kid. I was 18 years old. And it was in the program that I learned how to become a man as a student. Teen Challenge has helped save my life.
5:17, where we read, "Behold, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, they're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." And if you read in Revelation 12:11, it says, "We overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and through the word of our testimony." With that being said, I'm just going to invite Fred up. He's going to share, and then Jordan will follow.
Thank you, Derek. Hey, guys. So one of my favorite books in the Bible is Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes 7:15 and 16 goes like this. "In this life of mine, I have seen both of these, a righteous man perishing in his righteousness and a wicked man living in his wickedness. Do not be overrighteous, nor be overwise. And why destroy yourself?" Good afternoon, church. My name is Fred Allen, and I would like to tell you a little bit about myself and just what it took for me to get here today and share my testimony with you guys. I grew up in a beautiful little town in Southern California called Lake Arrowhead. This is a place was tucked up in the hills at 6,000 foot elevation where the snow dumped in the wintertime, and in the summertime, the trees reached for the sky. Some would even call it God's country. I enjoyed many different hobbies like ice hockey, snowboarding, and wakeboarding, and my personal favorite was riding dirt bikes. All of these sports were an absolute blast for me, but I feel that dirt bike riding was my favorite because this is when my father and I could actually bond with one another. I'm an only child, and growing up in Lake Arrowhead isn't exactly cheap. Putting work before family resulted in my parents going through a divorce when I was 19 years old. My mother acquired some rental homes and headed towards Lake Tahoe, and my father kept his company. In the summer of 2001, I was trying to make a career on the supercross track and ended up breaking my femur. Two separate surgeries later, the orthopedic surgeon got it right. And this is when my addiction all started. Fresh off of an injury and a broken home, my high school sweetheart and I were able to move in together. By working for my father, I was able to put my wife of 15 years through school and food on the table. Throughout my past, I have struggled on and off with addiction, resulting in my family wasting in excess of $90,000 in hope that I would be free from the chains of bondage and addiction. I was always a very prideful person, which I now know is just a blanket for my insecurities. While I was in my addiction, I became inconsistent, and these inconsistencies resulted in me having to place my new career on hold, which was working for the International Union of Operating Engineers. I would end up losing my home, vehicles, and hobbies that I once loved, and most importantly, my family. I literally went from the hills of Southern California to a beautiful family by my side, going against all authority and calling some island in the Colombian Hood River home. But who was I kidding? I was just another homeless drug addict, filled with shame, guilt, and worst feeling that anyone could ever experience, emptiness. I was even able to share a Thanksgiving meal with some random convict, sitting behind the iron curtains of a little jail in the Dalles, Oregon. For 18 days, I justified myself and had every excuse imaginable why I shouldn't be in that very place at that very time. On November 30th is when the judge of NorCal gave me two options, either 90 days in jail or a one-month drug and alcohol treatment center. I told my attorney that I have become that my life has become unmanageable and that I have absolutely zero faith left in me. This is when I was presented with the option of a one-year faith-based program of Adult and Teen Challenge. I was a couple weeks into the program, and on some random December evening, my education coordinator slash mentor, Monty Meyer, asked me one of the most important questions in my life, and that was if I wanted to become a Christian. Knowing in my heart that I was finally ready, I looked him directly in the eyes and said just that. The evening of December 13, 2021, I decided to surrender my life over the hands of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." This program has blessed me with the opportunity to do just that, to be transformed by the renewing of my mind through the power of Jesus Christ. It has slapped me in the face with truth and grace, enlightening me about who Freddie really is. I have been working on an array of challenges which has been presented to me. I'm learning to humble myself and communicate in an assertive manner. I've learned not to be double-minded and stand firm in what I believe in, no matter who I'm hanging around or presenting myself to. I have finally learned and experienced that there is something out there stronger than the drugs which try to take my life. And that was the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. The power of Christ Jesus has blessed me in many ways. One of most recent blessings was restoration with my family. My mother and I reunited after 2 years of me being absent. I was able to look her in the eyes and tell her that my problems and actions were not her fault. We were able to share a few tears with one another as well as a few laughs. I had asked her, how was she able to have such a strong backbone through life's challenges? She pulled her beat-up Bible out of her suitcase and said, it was only by the grace of God. I paused for a second and quietly whispered under my breath, God's perfect timing. What I meant by this is that my grandma and grandpa are in their 90s, and I'll finally be able to be there for my mom as she has always been there for me. With a combination of my newfound faith through the power of Jesus Christ, conditioning my heart and mind back into a place of serenity, I now have a peaceful feeling inside. I'm confident that I can cope with my emotions from what life has to throw at me without having to numb them with drugs or alcohol. Ecclesiastes 7:17-18 says, do not be over wicked or do not be a fool. Why die before your time? It's good to grasp one and not the other. The man who fears God will avoid all extremes. I would like to thank each and every one of you guys today for letting me come out and share my testimony with you. God bless every one of you.
Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For your rod and staff, or for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Hello, my name is Jordan Foos, and I was born in Portland, Oregon. God has always been in my life. My father was in the military, so speak when spoken to was a law in my household in my childhood. Behind closed doors, violence was common in my household, but to the rest of the community, we were the perfectly normal Christian middle-class family. My brother passed away at an early age, and this sparked lots of doubt for me about the whole God part and would lead to spiritual conversations that weren't very positive. My parents had mentally checked out, so I went seeking attention and validation elsewhere. I met a group of individuals at the skate park. They had different views on religion and several practices that weren't exactly Christian. This took up a major part of my life as I had an open mind. My twin brothers were born and I was a big brother again, a role model. However, my parents didn't want me around much as I didn't pay attention to what came out of my mouth. My recruiter for the Air Force informed me that due to my sleeping disorder, I wouldn't be able to fly what I wanted to fly. There were several other options. However, I had lost interest in this path. I saw God as more of an opponent, somebody to challenge, an authority figure. There was no way God was going to dictate my life. I would do as I wished, whatever pleased the flesh and gained me status amongst the people at the skate park. I found my grandpa's oxycodones and I tested a couple out because I heard they were amazing from my friends that smoked pot. My parents got a phone call from the school. They had found out I was selling to the other kids because somebody overdosed in class. They moved me out into the middle of nowhere, determined I would be a certain type of way. I would walk a certain walk. I would act a certain act. After a physical altercation with my father, I ran away. I was 17. I had status with all the wrong individuals. I glorified drug dealing, and I knew that God existed as I had far too many spiritual encounters not to believe. My days were often spent doing things just to spite God. I had stopped going to church as I was involved in other activities that God would have no part in. One day I went for a walk and I heard a voice that I hadn't heard in a while. I saw everything that was happening in town, the way people were talking to one another, and I noticed I was no longer a part of their godly lives. How much ever they had known me from the past, none of them would recognize me. There were many times that I had tried to kill myself. It never worked as God held me through multiple overdoses and would often guide me back home when I was blacked out. I would be angry when I woke up upon realizing where I was and that it was I was only there because that's where I felt safest. I wanted to hate my house. My house was a lie to society. People didn't know we constantly had CPS investigations. People didn't know I was the cause of death and violence. People didn't know that my mother and father were happier people without me. At least that's how I saw it. My parents moved to Alaska and I stayed behind because I'd caught my first felony. I had multiple interactions with the cops that would lead me to jail. The last 6 years of my life, I spent mostly inside of a cell. I got in a fight with the woman I was in love with, and I left where I was staying. I had a drug-induced stroke, and when I woke up in the hospital, I couldn't move my legs. I broke down. I wept. I started by praying. I broke down. I wept. I prayed. I started by apologizing out loud. I didn't know if anybody was in the room, and I didn't care. I poured my heart out. And then I asked God, I know I don't deserve it, but if you heal me, I will do anything you wish. The next day, I was able to move both my legs, and my feet worked again. My first words were, okay, what do you want? He said, call your parents. So I called, I let them know where I was, what happened, and then I was okay. They let me know. Then he let me know a nurse was on her way and to do whatever she suggested. She spoke to me about Teen Challenge. I told her to come back in 15 minutes, and I went to the window and said a silent goodbye to my town. Since being here, I've been able to reconnect with my family, remember the good things that happened in my life, and not just the bad. I remember who I really am as a person. I thank God every day for my personal Paul moment. Being here the last 6 months has taught me about coping skills, how to deal with traumatic events, what my triggers are, and there are several habits I've changed over the last 4 months of my program. One of those things is my speech patterns and what I talk about. My choices on how to spend my free time are changing as well. The last 2 weeks of my program have been the best part of my program. I'm no longer getting criticized for my actions. Instead, I've heard lots of praise, and I feel as if I will be ready to be a big brother again by the time I get to Alaska. Like I will be a good role model, somebody my family will want to have around. Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Thank you.
Wow, I think that's phenomenal. So as a recovery coach back at the center and shed, I don't have the privilege being out in the community and participating in outreach every Sunday. It's not my full-time job. I say that to say this. What they didn't share with you, that was their first time ever sharing their testimony in public in a church setting. And that's a big deal. Yeah, give them another hand. Wow. That's the first time I've heard their testimony. And those guys are brilliant and articulate and just calm and collected. And man, what a joy. Those are powerful testimonies. Amen? Yeah, cool. So we're going to talk a little bit about student sponsorship. And I would suggest you probably didn't come to church this morning with a big pocket full of money, right? But if you did, we'll take it. And so, just kidding. Anyway, that was a joke. But it does take money to put food in our bellies and keep the lights on, and we too and Shed enjoy hot showers. And so, anyway, God provides for the ministry, but I will say this. What's most important, you can partner with the Lord in the ministry in terms of student sponsorship, donations, monies, however you want. I could care less really about all that. What's most important to me is these little touch cards right here. We've got a whole host of them on that little table back there. We're going to roll a video in a minute, but I'm well aware of being in this community that there are hundreds of addicts on the streets, and you know them. They could be possibly in this church, and all you have to do is put one of these little cards in their hand. There's a number on here. Help them make that phone call. We'll get them connected to one of our centers. We've got a 50-bed facility. We've got 25 beds available approximately. We want to help people that are struggling. And so get a card in one of their hands. We want to provide hope. Amen? We want to get people to Jesus and Jesus to people while we still have time, because the end of all things is near. I'm convinced about that beyond a shadow of a doubt. So don't leave today. If this doesn't cost you anything other than willingness in your heart, grab a handful of these little cards. Amen? And you can roll that little video, please.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm from Brownsville.
Hi, my name's Adam.
My name's Jason.
My name is Joseph.
Faustino.
Amanda.
I was addicted to heroin and meth.
Drug of choice was opiates in general.
Bulimia. And then I masked that with severe alcohol.
Meth and heroin.
Addiction was like walking through hell.
The darkest time in my life.
It's very hard and it's lonely.
Chaos everywhere. depression all the time, and anger 24/7.
My whole family had abandoned me because of all of the pain and suffering I'd caused.
And I really had no drive or no hope or just no purpose of living.
I viewed myself as a junkie.
I saw myself as worthless. I saw myself as I deserved to live under that bridge.
The Adult and Teen Challenge program for me was a place of peace, a place where I could finally find out who I was, who I was intended to be, and who honestly God created me to be.
The program was easy for me to be in, but it required change, and that was the hard part for me.
It was difficult, but it was worth it.
No pun intended, it's challenging. It's definitely a beautiful process, but it's in no terms easy.
The hardest year ever, but the best.
I found who I was without drugs, without alcohol, without an eating disorder.
I learned that I'm chosen, that I'm accepted, that I'm loved.
God is a God of forgiveness, of mercy, of grace.
I found freedom from the chains that I'd worn my entire life.
And I learned that my past does not define me.
My identity now and forever is I'm a child of God.
I look to his word and the truth and not to the lies of the enemy.
Honestly, it's all because of Jesus. Before, I was a dirtbag.
The trust that people have for me now. Nobody trusted me before I came in this program. And now I'm responsible for a campus, men's lives. God has entrusted me with a lot. And 12 years ago, that would not have been the case.
Sponsorship was an anchor in this wild program.
The sponsorship program is designed to help people get through the program that can't financially afford it.
It helps students know that there is someone out there who cares about them and is praying for them.
It was humbling, but it was also, I didn't understand why. I didn't understand why somebody who didn't know me would want to pray for me. It was amazing because I had burnt a lot of bridges in my past, and I didn't think anybody cared enough to pray for me or want me to do better. And having a sponsor, I saw that there are people that cared.
I've seen guys who were on the brink of the edge, about to leave, and they received a letter from their sponsors, which gave them hope to stay another day.
To any of those sponsors out there that are listening that may have sponsored me, I want to say thank you.
I would like to say thank you to all of my sponsors. They all made a difference. There was days when I wanted to give up and I wanted to quit. And I know it sounds cliche, but they sent that letter and they listened to God's voice and told me exactly what I needed to hear in that moment that kept me going, kept me focused on the bigger picture and staying.
They help give that hope to somebody that doesn't have hope.
You make it possible for people like me.
Thank you to all of our current sponsors. You guys keep this program up and operational, so we can't thank you enough.
If you're considering on sponsoring a student, it can help change a life.
Help save a life. Help change a life. Put hope within reach.
So I do know that each and every one of those individuals, even today, years later, are successful, sober Christian servants that are doing big things for God. And so if you so desire, it is about $45 a month, and you can partner with one of the students. Like you heard there, you can write letters, you can send gifts. We'll invite you to their graduation after 12 months is up, and just the prayer support. Who knows what God will do in the midst of your interaction with the student. And so if you've got a desire to do that, the end of the service will answer all your questions. All the information is back there. And so we've got a couple more testimonies for you this morning, and I'll just go ahead and invite Joel up.
Good morning, church. My name is Joel Steppen, and I was born and raised in Salem, Oregon. To start off, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my life before I met my Lord and Savior. I had a good childhood. I lived with my mom, my stepdad, and my younger sister. We attended church every Saturday evening, and even though I noticed that my parents had a strong relationship with God, I did not at the time, but I simply attended the services because that's what we did as a family. I've always enjoyed sports when I was young. I played baseball and soccer until I got into the middle school, where my interest went towards football and track and field, which I also enjoyed doing through high school. I got fairly good grades throughout school, and I graduated from McKay High School in 2010. After my graduation, my parents decided to move to the Roseburg area where my stepdad was originally from, and I decided to stay living in Salem on my own. By this time, I had the freedom of living on my own, and even though I held down a few good jobs at the time, I always followed the motto, work hard and play hard. I got into partying, drinking, and later in 2011, cocaine and meth use, which at the time was just for fun, until the day I tried heroin, which I soon fell in love with and would soon become the downfall. My life spun out of control. I found myself in and out of treatment centers, trying to get my addiction under control, which I never could. In the year 2014, I started dating a woman I had met. Her name was Angelina, and she was truly amazing to me. I fell in love with her right away, and after 2 years of being together, we got our own house together, and life was great until I relapsed, and I tried to hide it from her. But she already knew what I was doing, and she kicked me out of our home. Our breakup really crushed me, and I fell into a deep depression afterwards as I used more and more drugs and started sleeping around searching for any kind of love I could find, but I could never seem to find it. Not much longer after our breakup, I had caught an STD from someone, and in the same time period came my first overdose from heroin, and I felt completely lost in my own life and searched for happiness I could never seem to grasp. In 2018, I started seeing a woman who I felt at the time was perfect for me, only because she was just as messed up as I was, and we only had one common connection, which was our drug use, and in no time we were both homeless on the streets of Salem, and I was doing anything and everything I could to stay high and not have to experience the terrifying opiate withdrawals. My relationship with her soon became very dependent, codependent, abusive, and toxic, as we would steal and screw over anyone we could in order to get by. Although we grew to hate each other, our love for drugs was stronger, and we would still stay together, as it was easier to obtain drugs together. Now, after many times in and out of jail, and my list of criminal charges growing as time goes on, my mother suggested I try going to Teen Challenge, and going before a judge who tried to sentence me to 46 to 52 months in prison, he allowed me to come into the Willamette Valley campus in Shedd, Oregon. So I left my drug use and my girlfriend, and I came to the program. During the past 10 years of my life, during my drug use, I knew there had to be some kind of a higher power out there. And in my addiction and depression, with every little circumstance, in the back of my head, I knew there had to be more to life than the repeated way I was living on a daily basis, trying to make things work for me the way I wanted to try, but yet failing miserably every time. I found that my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the answer. I realized this in my first church service. I went to a teen challenge at King's Circle Church in Corvallis, and I finally felt free from the shame and guilt I have felt for so long and all the years of my drug use. Now with God on my side, I see a positivity in life that I've never had before, and every day I learn something new, and God has opened up my mind to endless possibilities of things I can now do while not being locked in the chains of addiction anymore. He has restored my relationships with everybody in my family, which I am so grateful for, especially with my best friend, who I also call my mother, who never gave up on me, and I only have God to thank for that. After all the years of my family worrying and praying for me, now I've been blessed to be the one who can pray for them. In my old life, I was so dependent on drugs and my relationship that I had, I felt like I needed them for my life to continue on with any chance of being happy. But now I am happy to say the only thing I'm dependent on is my relationship with the Lord, who is now fulfilling all of my needs. I am so thankful for God's love, forgiveness, and grace He has shown me throughout my life, and am so grateful to still be alive today, not as a lost soul wandering the streets, but as a child of God. Thank you.
Morning, church. I stand in front of you today not because of a winning streak. I stand in front of you as a new life redeemed through the blood of Christ, a new life bought with a price greater than I could ever repay. Stand up. These are the words that describe my past life and the new future I'm walking towards. Bringing lost sinners home to Jesus. The dictionary's definition of addiction goes as follows. A compulsive need for the use of a habit-forming substance characterized by psychological symptoms upon withdrawal. Also, a persistent compulsive use of a substance known by the user to be harmful. Growing up, I had it better than most, living the modern middle-class family dream. Father, a police officer, mother, a devoted corporate worker. Money was good. We even had regular trips to our vacation house. But my parents were split individuals growing apart. Fighting became regular, and our family ended in divorce. This childhood trauma drove me into my head. I began isolating from friend groups. I was lost living in two new homes, going back and forth. To my parents' credit, they worked extremely hard and always provided for me and my family. I turned to food at a young age. Food became my coping skill. I ate so well, in fact, I earned scholarships to play college football. So to the outside world, I had it all. But internally, I was lost, going back and forth. Struggling with insecurities, depression, and anxiety, I became lodged in my own head. I was carrying disappointments, permanently lodged in there, and let them define me, something I still struggle with today. As a young man, I found a false reality, a community on Facebook, Instagram. I became addicted, hours upon hours spent checking, sharing, uploading, because on this environment, I could only show you what I wanted you to see and avoid the other areas of my life. As a young man living in a small college town, freely into the world, with success and intention of a rising football player, I was empty inside. I turned to drugs and alcohol. I continued usage until enrolling in Adult and Teen Challenge Lehigh Valley campus. Located in the grass seed capital of the world, an old abandoned elementary school converted into a hospital for lost sinners searching for Jesus. In my brokenness, I went to many of Earth's greatest destinations and wonders. So in the worship hymn song, I searched the world, In the worship hymns, Graves in the Gardens, I searched the world and it couldn't fill me, never seemed so true. Christ was here for me in my darkest days, provided with me shelter, food, and warmth. He never turned his back on me. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." I've had times where the father pushed me to fly, and my first flight wasn't pretty. I hit rock bottom, living in a homeless camp, with a meth pipe in one hand and a phone in the other. I was lost and ready to give up, and there was Jesus. Jesus opened doors to many places, first detox and then Adult and Teen Challenge. I showed up 12 months ago and have been there since. God continues to reveal my purpose-driven life as I awake from my protective shell to explore this great Beaver State, home of great oceans, mountaintops, valleys, floors, and the Willamette Queen. So we have a education coordinator, and his motto is never lose your humor. So I'd like to finish with a joke. All right, we'll start simple. So there was a guy in the Bible named Goliath, kind of probably looked like Matt, just about a few feet taller. So why didn't anyone want to fight Goliath? Because it seemed like a giant ordeal. All right, last one. So there was this boy named David. He attended a large church. He was a young boy, and in Sunday school, the teacher began to teach them about Genesis, the story of Adam and Eve. Became especially interested when he heard about the part how Eve became created from Adam's own rib. He continued home thinking about this and opened up his Bible at his kitchen table. As he was reading, he fell to the ground in sudden pain in his ribs, and his mother shouted and said, "Adam, son, what's wrong? I think I'm getting a wife." Thank you. Thank you, Church.
I love that. So for years, I was a part of a Little Four Square Church in Sweet Home, Cornerstone Fellowship, and our pastor, Rick Ellingson, would use this verbiage, you got to have balance. And I never understood what that means. In terms of the application this morning, humor is good. We laugh a lot in Shed It Teen Challenge. And so anyway, thanks, Matt. Hey, Bob, do you guys have the women come here at all as well? Okay, just wanted to inform you ladies that we do have a women's campus in Eugene. It's called the Hannah's House. And so if there's women that need help as well, those touch cards will work for them. And I love what Joel said about mamas. You know, mamas like a best friend. I'm pretty convinced there's going to be a special reward in heaven for moms that had sons like me. And so anyway, God bless our moms. Amen. And grandparents, you know, my grandparents loved the Lord and were on fire their whole lives, and I think I'm a recipient of their prayers. They're gone and with Jesus. So, you know, if you're still here and you got a lot of gray hair, and I'm getting a whole bunch more too, keep praying because God's going to honor those prayers. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Amen. And so just one quick closing word here. The U.S. Surgeon General states that 1 in 7 Americans will face substance addiction, and only 10% will receive adequate treatment. So that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is going to struggle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you're going to struggle. And you just continue to do the math. That's kind of staggering. And so the reality is, you heard this morning, there is adequate treatment. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We want to get people to Jesus. This one is staggering as well. Alcohol is the third leading cause of preventable death in the United States. Preventable death, alcohol alone. One American dies every 19 minutes from a drug overdose, and overdose deaths have increased over 200% in the last decade alone. That means we've been here for about an hour. Three people have already perished from the time that we started this service. And then I was just curious this morning. I wanted to refine it, and I wanted to know what was happening in Linn County in the state of Oregon, because it's a little more at home, right? And so research suggests that 5 Oregonians die every week from a heroin-related overdose. And in 2020, 462 people died from unintentional overdoses. You heard Joel's testimony. I mean, he overdosed. And so to me, that just it pains my heart to know that in Oregon, people are just perishing because there's a lack of hope and opportunity for help. And it's in closing, Proverbs 24:11 says that we should rescue those that are being led away to death, to hold back those who are staggering towards the slaughter. And so I say that in conclusion. I don't know what your role and responsibility is. Again, that's between you and the Lord. But I just wanted to pray. For some reason, I just feel led to pray over Scott and the church and the fellowship here, and then we'll close. And thank you again with all my heart on behalf of Teen Challenge for inviting us in and your support, love, and allowing us into the church. And again, if you want to get connected, we have all the information in the back. Amen. Well, Lord Jesus, we love you. We give you all the praise, Lord. You're a great and awesome Savior. We just worship you, Lord. And you're faithful. I just thank you for the body of Christ and this community here, God. And I know Scott and his wife are on a sabbatical, God. And we just lift them up and bring them before your throne and ask that they would find that authentic agape love and rest, that this would be a time of refreshing for them, Lord. And Lord, as these days unfold, there would be a fresh anointing upon their lives to preach the word, to move in humility, God, and to profess the gospel with courage and boldness, as I know they desire. Lord, I just pray your peace in this place, Lord. I pray that there would be a sweet move of unity and camaraderie like never before. God, that you just protect this body. I pray that, God, you provide a greater platform into the heart of this community with the love and the good works that you've already prepared in advance for them to do, to give each and every individual strength and boldness in these days, Lord, to represent you as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Lord, I'm concerned about our next generation, my daughters in this community, and just becoming a granddad for the first time, Lord. There's great disillusionment and deception out there, and so I pray that truth would prevail over every lie in this congregation, Lord, and that you'd raise up this next and coming generation to fear you, to shun evil, and walk in victory over darkness, that you provide increase and watch over the little children in this church, Father. We just love you, Lord. We give you all the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.